it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan. Smashville lives here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Adam Vingan here. Nick Heiser as well, back from our holiday hiatus. Good to be with all of you this Thursday evening. Joined this week by Alex Daugherty, Predators beat reporter from the Tennessean. Alex, happy new year. How are you?
I'm doing really good. 2025, a new year. I'm ready to take it on.
The Predators are undefeated in 2025, I'm sure.
That's
many
right.
People have made that joke. But all of those warm and fuzzy feelings that the Predators provided for you fans entering the holiday break, winning 4 of 6 games and winning those games against top competition, beating the Dallas Stars, beating the LA Kings, beating the Carolina Hurricanes. They felt good about their game entering the holiday break. Predators fans had a glimmer of hope, and it's been flushed down the toilet since they've been back from the holiday break. 3 regulation losses, all to Central Division rivals, a 7-4 loss to the Blues, a 3-0 loss to the Jets, and a 5-3 loss to the Minnesota Wild. That leaves the Predators at 11-20-7. Hard to believe that this team, as we enter 2025, has won 11 games. Alex, I know that you are in the thick of this as well, being in the dressing room every day, but even just looking at the standings right now and seeing the Predators having 11 wins on January 2nd, we talked about our best and worst case scenarios entering the season. No one could have seen this coming.
No, definitely not. And you know, they actually had a decent record against the Central Division prior to this last few days. I think they were like 5-2-1, 4-2-1, something like that against the Central Division. I think, you know, they had a big win early on against the Jets, and then against the Avalanche, they beat Dallas 4-1 in their place, and things were looking better, you know, recently. But then, yeah, these 3 losses were just, I mean, and they were bad losses in so many ways. I mean, they had poor goaltending and defense against the Blues. They couldn't get any scoring against the Jets, and then the Minnesota Wild loss. They allow 3 power play goals for the first time all season. They've allowed 5 power play goals in their last 2 games. So even their vaunted penalty kill has been challenged, has been knocked off its peg. And there seems to be just a return to the vibe and the long losing streak from earlier when nothing's going right. They can't score. They can't play defense. They are losing close games. They're losing, you know, not close games. They're making mistakes, going to the penalty box, getting injuries, of course. We've seen that, you know, Jeremy Lauzon left the game early against Minnesota. Suddenly, Adam Willsby has an injury. It's just like, as soon as you make some progress for this season, the most minimal amount of progress, just a couple of wins in a row, then they just lose quickly. They lose 3 straight, and you're back, you know, barely above the Chicago Blackhawks for last place.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? As you were
exactly
listing
right.
All of those things. They can't score. They can't defend. Well, those are the things that tend to lead to winning games,
yeah,
in the NHL, and the Predators can't do that. And you mentioned all of the injuries. The Predators will be shorthanded in their upcoming games. We don't know how many, but Zachary Leroux will have a hearing with the NHL Department of Player Safety. As we record this on Thursday morning, the hearing has not taken place. The hearing will take place this afternoon, or by the time you hear this, it will have already taken place. But the hearing taking place Thursday afternoon, and when you do get a hearing from the NHL Department of Player Safety, you are virtually guaranteed a suspension. There have been a few occasions where a player has a hearing and ultimately does not get suspended, but that is the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So Zachary LaRue will almost certainly get suspended. And now, Alex, you were having spirited debate with Predators fans on Twitter over the textbook definition of slew footing, even screenshotting the rule book. And that's when you know that you're in it, when you have to go to the NHL rule book and screenshot the section of slew footing. But that is what Zachary LaRue's hearing is about. He is he tripped slash slew footed Jared Spurgeon of the Minnesota Wild on Tuesday. Spurgeon sustained an apparent lower body injury on the play. As we record this, no word on the injury status of Jared Spurgeon, though that will be taken into account in the suspension. So let's talk about the play itself. I know where you stand on it based on your Twitter arguments, but what did you make of the play itself? And Zachary LaRue has a checkered past in other leagues, was suspended 9 times in junior, twice in the AHL. That won't be taken into account in this debate. It's in this hearing with the Department of Player Safety. It's not really a debate, though he will be able to defend himself. Those infractions will not be taken into account by the NHL Department of Player Safety. But LaRue clearly has a history of these types of plays. He's kept his nose clean in the NHL up until this point. But what did you make of the play itself, and what are you expecting from the NHL when this decision comes down?
I when I watched the play originally, you know, it was pretty clear it was going to be a penalty of some sort. And you do have to watch the replay to understand the sort of physics of what happened on the play and understand why it's a slew foot and why it's dangerous. It's textbook definition. It's very clearly a slew foot. I've even got it pulled up here. So when you knock or kick an opponent's feet from under him or push an opponent's upper body backward with an arm or elbow, and at the same time with a forward motion of the leg, knock or kick the opponent's feet from under him, causing him to fall violently to the ice. I was saying that I think that this video of LaRue doing this to Spurgeon should be included in the video highlights package where they teach officials what a slew foot is. That's how clearly I think it is. You know, a lot of people, what I saw a lot of is that people talking about intent and, you know, did he mean to do this? I mean, I think it's pretty clear that they're both battling for the puck, something that LaRue is very good at and does a lot of. Just he's sort of a puck retrieving winger that has no problem going into the corner and trying to win a puck. And I think that's what he was trying to do. It's just like the nature of two players flying towards the boards at that point. You can't do what he did. You can't put your leg there and then push him backwards. Like you, it's just something you can't do. So very clearly a penalty. You saw John Hines getting angry about it after the game. He said, I think the league's going to look at it. He called it a cheap hit. I think he called it undisciplined play. Now, John Hines never coached Zach LaRue, though he may have been in a training camp with him. I'm trying to recall. I guess he probably was at some point. So he's familiar with LaRue as a player. Obviously, he was around when they drafted him. So, I think it's, maybe a couple games. It's a phone hearing, so it'll be less than 5 for sure. My prediction is like 2, maybe 3 games. I want to say, you know, slew foots don't happen that often. They're not a very common infraction. But the last one that I can remember is Brad Marchand, who did one and got 3 games. And he had obviously has a much different level of, much different reputation, much more lengthy reputation in the NHL. So I think 3 games for him. 2 seems right to me. I don't know. What do you think? Two seems like a right amount of games.
Yeah, I think 2 is the right amount of games. And by the way, in terms of slew footing suspensions, I'm seeing an article here from December of 2023. Speaking of the Minnesota Wild and former members of the Nashville Predators, Ryan Hartman slew-footed Alex DeBrincat and was given a 2-game suspension.
Okay, there you go.
From the NHL's Department of Player Safety. There was no penalty called on the play, and DeBrincat even received a minor as a result of his retaliation. But Hartman ultimately received a 2-game suspension.
So was DeBrincat injured?
It does not appear so.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the fact that a penalty was called on LaRue in this situation, maybe it knocks it down to one game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it could be.
And again, to be clear, as we're recording this, the hearing has not happened. But by the time you hear this, we'll probably know the answer. I'm going to say one game.
Okay.
Because he was thrown out of this game.
So he missed half of it already. Yeah.
So I'll say he gets suspended for one game. I think it would not be out of the realm of possibility if it was two. I didn't see a play where LaRue was intending to injure Jared Spurgeon.
Sure.
But clearly he did something he's not allowed to do.
Yeah.
And I think the crux of the argument being made against you in all of these spirited debates on social media is that LaRue has a history in other leagues, and therefore the NHL should be harsh on this penalty to dissuade him from doing it at the NHL level. But I don't agree with that.
I don't either. I think the cynical people out there will say, of course they're going to look at that and use that in this. I really don't think they are. I think they're smart enough to know, like, by the letter of the law, you really can't do that. And they're going to put out there, when they make the hearing, they always put out a video explanation. I think they're all very, I think it's well done the way they explain suspensions, going into, you know, the play itself, the history, you know, the letter of the law and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, I don't think they're going to consider that, because they know that players develop and change, and his first 32 games in the NHL were relatively clean. I mean, he got in some fights here and there, or he didn't. That was his first fight the other night, but he's definitely had some post-whistle confrontations, we should say, but nothing like this. So I think that won't play a factor. I really don't.
No, I don't think that would be fair. I don't think it would be fair for the NHL to look at what's happened in other leagues when he was younger and use that to make a determination in his suspension this time around. So I'm going to go with one game just based on the fact that he did get thrown out of the game against the Wild. If he had not received a penalty on the play, maybe I'd lean towards two. I wouldn't be surprised if it was two, but I'm going to say one. But what we do know is that for at least a game, Zachary LaRue will be unavailable to the Nashville Predators, the already shorthanded Nashville Predators, as you mentioned, some of the injuries that they're dealing with. The Predators' road trip continues tomorrow night in Vancouver. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. They play in Calgary on Saturday and go back to Winnipeg on Tuesday before coming back for a lengthy homestand. So we'll see what the Predators do without Zachary LaRue for at least a game, maybe two. We will find out soon enough. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, where art thou, Philip Forsberg? We'll explain coming up next. Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan joined in studio this week by Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean. Predators back in action tomorrow night in Vancouver as their road trip continues through early next week. One good thing that's been happening with the Predators over the past few weeks, Alex, is they found a top line that really does seem to be working.
Yeah.
Philip Forsberg, Steven Stamkos, and Jonathan Marchessault. And the first game, if I recall correctly, that they started as a line was back on December 10th. Since that date, the Predators have outscored their opponents 9-4 at 5-on-5 with that line on the ice. Jonathan Marchessault, over those 10 games, an absolute heater, 14 points, 9 goals, 5 assists. By the way, those 9 goals lead the NHL since December 10th. So Jonathan Marchessault, after an incredibly slow start, really heating up. And Steven Stamkos, over that same stretch, 10 points, 4 goals, 6 assists in 10 games, looking spry, looking like a younger Steven Stamkos. I think the move to center has reinvigorated him somewhat. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen more of what the old Steven Stamkos looks like to some extent. And then there's Philip Forsberg, who has 13 points in the past 10 games. All 13 points are assists. Philip Forsberg has 0 goals in his past 10 games. In fact, Philip Forsberg has 0 goals in his past 16 games. It is tied for the second longest drought of his career. He went 17 games without scoring early in the 2015-16 season. So we're nearly a decade since the last time that Philip Forsberg went this long without scoring. So although that line has been clicking, as I mentioned, outscoring opponents 9-4 at 5-on-5, Marchessault's doing really well, Stamkos looks reinvigorated, as I said, Philip Forsberg racking up the assists, which is not a bad thing, but 0 goals in 16 consecutive games. It's been, I think it must have been late November. I believe it was the game in New Jersey. That was the last time, that was after Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. That was the last time that Philip Forsberg was able to put a puck in the net.
Mm.
So, again, the fact that he's being productive as a playmaker, I'm not going to discount that. Philip Forsberg gets paid $8.5 million a season to score goals, and that's not been going on. What's been going on, Alex? Why is Philip Forsberg 0-for over the past 16 games?
Yeah, it's a strange situation. So I was doing some looking at this, trying to figure out how rare this is. Obviously, you just said that this is his second longest streak that he's ever had, 16 games. So this season in the NHL, there have been 249 forwards that have had a goalless streak of at least 10 games. So he's one of 249 players that have done that. He has the most shots of all of them in that streak. He has 50 shots. Actually, he's tied with former Predator Ryan Hartman in that category. So the issue to me is he's just not finishing. He's getting the amount of shots you would expect Forsberg to get in a typical game. He has 50 shots over his last 16 games, but 0 goals. And I love it when the math works out like this, because he's a career 12% shooter, something like that. So you would expect him to score around 6 goals on those 50 shots. That's how the math work out. Well, according to the advanced numbers, in all strengths, he has exactly 6.09 individual expected goals over those 16 games. So even the underlying numbers match up to what we would expect. He's shooting way low. I mean, he's shooting 0% on his last 50 shots. Like, it's a matter of the puck's not going in. Now, is he getting the same kind of shots he normally gets? I think he's not, because I think Marchessault is kind of cleaning up a lot of that stuff. He's obviously been on a heater, like you said. And Forsberg is probably giving way to a lot of what Steven Stamkos is doing, because if you remember, when Forsberg is really on, he's controlling the puck. He's skating in the zone. He's using his size to create space. And I think Stamkos is doing a lot of that. And so maybe there's an adjustment going on with Forsberg trying to figure out, okay, Stamkos is doing a lot of really good things, so is Marchessault. How do I fit in on this? Because normally he's the guy on that line. You know, even last year with O'Reilly and Nyquist, like, it was Forsberg driving everything. You know, O'Reilly was a big part of it, and so was Nyquist, but Forsberg was driving it. Now he's kind of like the third wheel and figuring out how that works. Also on the power play, I think the power play recently has been a little bit more doing the thing where it just tries to feed Stamkos and maybe feed Yossi too much, and Forsberg is, again, like the third or fourth option. That's maybe less of an issue, but I think that contributes to it, because, you know, Forsberg, part of Forsberg's scoring is he's a good power play scorer as well. So it's a very strange situation. He just needs something, right? He needs like a poke near the net. He needs something to just kind of bounce in. Something. It doesn't have to be a Forsberg, you know, a dangling, you know, beautiful play where he brings it to the middle of the ice and rips one over the glove. Like, it needs to be something to get the puck in the net so that he can build some more confidence and start shooting the puck better.
So, as you mentioned, Philip Forsberg, 0 goals on 50 shots over the past 16 games. Sportlogic gives Philip Forsberg credit for 48 scoring chances over those 16 games, which is a nice round three per game, which is actually more than he was averaging before this streak began. He was averaging 2.73 scoring chances per game up through November 25th, which was the last time he scored a goal. So it's reminiscent of what we saw from Marchessault at the beginning of the season. I think the puck is just not going in for Philip Forsberg. I think he is doing a lot of the right things to put himself in position to score, but it's just not going in. And one thing we do know about Philip Forsberg is once he gets going, he has shown an ability in the past to just take over for several games in a row. How many times has Philip Forsberg gone on these ridiculous goal streaks where he puts the team on his back?
Hasn't he multiple times had back-to-back hat tricks? I think that's happened twice where he's had back-to-back hat tricks.
That does sound correct. he is fully capable of doing that. And if you're a Predators fan, you certainly hope that that ends up happening with Philip Forsberg. But with Marchessault heating up and Stamkos looking more like the Steven Stamkos the Predators hoped they were getting when they signed him, it's just interesting to me that Forsberg has gone MIA in the goal-scoring department. You know, as you said, maybe it's just the mix of the line. If I'm not mistaken, all three players are right-handed shots. That's something that's been brought up a couple of times about the makeup of this line and maybe why it's performing better than people expected. But I think that once one goes in for Forsberg, I think you're going to see him go off over a few games.
I think so, too. And yes, he has had back-to-back four hat tricks two different times, in 2016 and in 2017. And if you're the Predators, like, you have got to have this happen. You know, I mean, it's pretty crazy that he's been stuck on 9 goals for so long. He was leading the team forever in goals with just 9, and then it has been passed by a couple different players at this point. I think Stamkos has, 12 or something like that, and Stamkos has 11 and Marchessault has 14. Like, I mean, you need Forsberg at his $8.5 million price tag to be scoring, as well as Stamkos and Marchessault, who also are highly paid forwards. And what's frustrating is, you know, you feel very confident that the first line is the way forward right now. Like, keeping the line together is. This is not a thing where, like, okay, he's not going, move him down and get him some time with a different forward. Like, no, the line is working. Like, he's just got to figure it out. He just has to work through it himself. The brunette can't sit there and say, all right, we got to figure out a way to adjust things. It just has to work because you cannot break up that line. It's working too well. And even though it hasn't really resulted in any wins, it's just like it's the only piece of offense that the Predators have right now.
I'd be curious for your thoughts on what you've seen from Steven Stamkos since he made the shift to center, because that's not a position he's played in recent years. And although I wouldn't bank on Steven Stamkos remaining at center, look, it's working right now. I think the injury to Ryan O'Reilly last month might have been a blessing in disguise, not just because O'Reilly was not out of the lineup for maybe as long as everybody anticipated, but it forced Andrew Brunette to put Stamkos at center, and it's led to the creation of this line that we've been discussing. But I see a Steven Stamkos, as I said, that looks a bit more like the Steven Stamkos that Predators fans hoped they were getting in free agency. What have you seen from Stamkos in terms of his game since he's moved to center? I've seen him really use that skating ability, driving into the zone.
Mm-hmm.
I've really liked what I've seen there from him. Now, as I said, I wouldn't keep him there long term because he is an older player. They still need to get younger at that position. But I like what I've seen so far. What about you?
I think there's a chance we see him play this position the rest of the season.
That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I think it'll be there the rest of the season, but going into the off season, retooling it and saying, okay, can we get him back on the wing? How can we do that? However that happens. It's the speed for me. Like the speed that he's brought I want to say he's probably the first or second fastest player on the team right now. I think there's especially playing with the puck. I mean, speed off the puck is one thing, but speed with the puck is another. And to be able to gain the zone at 5-on-5 and control it and either peel back and delay at the line or peel through and circle behind the net to look for a pass or to generate a shot on net yourself. He's doing all those things really well. And it's just more importantly, I mean, it's more time with the puck for one of your best players. It's like he's the Josi equivalent of the forwards, right? I mean, you feel good about the defense when Josi has a lot of time on ice and has the puck a lot and is out there controlling things. That's how you feel with Stamkos right now. When he has the puck going through the zone, you feel confident there's going to be a good decision made and a good shot on goal. Same thing with Marchessault, I would say. I can't say that for almost any of the other forwards right now. It's like when certain players are going through the zone and they have the puck, it's like you just kind of wait for the moment in which it's going to fail. And that's just the reality of where this team is. Are they going to turn it over at the blue line? Are they going to get a shot that doesn't have any chance? Are they going to lose possession? Are they going to get checked off the puck? Are they going to commit a penalty? What are they going to do? And Stamkos is like the opposite of that. It seems like whenever he has the puck and going through the zone, he has the whole game in front of him kind of in slow motion.
So according to NHL Edge, Steven Stamkos' top skating speed this season is 24.21 miles per hour, which is in the 99th percentile.
Steven McDavid.
Right. He's up there. And, you know, I don't consider Steven Stamkos like a fast skater.
No.
So that's why I'm surprised by these numbers. But he has been skating quite well, and I think the move to center has been really good for him.
You know what's funny? I just real quick on that, I just wanted to throw this in there. I play hockey. I know that a lot of people out there do. I have a tracker on my Apple Watch that tracks my time. And obviously, the technology I'm wearing is far, far less than the technology they're wearing. There was one time where it messed up, and it recorded my top skating speed as 35 miles an hour. And I will for always remember that one time I skated 35 miles an hour. Clearly, there was a glitch. So hopefully that's not what happened with this NHL Edge tracking software, that it just glitched and somehow gave Steven Stamkos a 24.21 top speed.
Something tells me that the NHL is a little bit more high tech than your Apple Watch. But who knows? Maybe you did skate faster than Nathan MacKinnon one time. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, it's the new year. So it's time for some New Year's resolutions. We'll get to those next. Alex Daugherty, Adam Vingan, this is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan joined in studio this week by Alex Daugherty of The Tennessean. It's January 2nd, so I hope that you've already made your New Year's resolutions. Mine was to grow more hair on the top of my head, but I'm not a miracle worker.
Too late!
It is too late, Keezer. It is too late. I do want to emphasize, though, that I do shave my head. I'm not bald. I shave my head, but I'm here for all of you bald and balding men out there. So, look, the Predator season is probably lost. Last I checked, SportLogic gives the Predators a 0.6% chance of making the playoffs. And you can go to any other site. MoneyPuck.com is a popular one. There are others. The Predators' chances of making the playoffs are somewhere between slim and none, especially after coming back from the holiday break with three consecutive regulation losses. As it stands, entering Thursday's action, the Predators are 14 points behind the Calgary Flames for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference, with five teams between them: Vancouver, St. Louis, Utah, Seattle, and Anaheim. So the playoffs are a pipe dream at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There is not going to be a St. Louis Blues-esque turnaround, despite the fact that Ryan O'Reilly is on the Predators roster. That's not going to happen. So the Predators still have more than half a season to play. So we can't just, you know, pick up our tent and just not play. There's no NHL EA Sports simulate the season option in real life. So we do have to watch how many games? Let's say 82. 44, I think that's right. 44 more games of this.
Yep.
So I want to know what the Predators' goals are for the remainder of the season, because they still do have to look forward. And I thought Barry Trotz addressed this quite well, Alex, when he discussed trading Alex Carrier. You know, he's made some other moves this season, not just this offseason, but made some moves this during the season. He's gotten younger. He's gotten cheaper. Looking forward to set themselves up to go big in free agency maybe next summer, make a trade during the season. So as we look at the remainder of the season for the Predators, knowing that the playoffs are more than likely out of reach, what should the Predators' goals be for the remainder of the 2024-25 season?
Okay, so I have one specific, one general one, and then one very specific one. I'll start with the specific one, and that is they should try to get a third-round pick for Gustav Nyquist.
Okay.
I think they could push for a second. Now, that sounds high, but I think a third-round pick is the minimum you could get. So Gustav Nyquist has been traded several times in his career. The last time he was traded was to go to the Minnesota Wild two seasons ago, and that was for a fifth-round pick, which is significantly less. But the Minnesota Wild acquired him for a fifth-round pick from Columbus. Before that, he was acquired from his original team, the Red Wings, to the San Jose Sharks for a second and a third, which is crazy to think about. The Sharks, this was 5 years ago, but Sharks were in buying mode at that point. He got a second and a third for Gustav Nyquist. So they're not going to get a second and a third for Nyquist, but I think a third seems pretty reasonable. I think there's always teams that are going to want to buy scoring wingers at the deadline. Getting a third round pick for Gustav Nyquist and pushing for a second, if they could somehow get a conditional third where it's like, or I'm sorry, a conditional second where it drops to a third if this happens, or, you know, one of those conditional things, mm-hmm. Would be perfect, because he's an aspiring player. It would be a rental for someone else. Someone's going to want to load up and add something like that to their roster ahead of the playoffs. And the Predators would add to their already large amount of draft picks for over the next, you know, couple drafts. And it would only make sense. And Gustav Nyquist is not part of the plan moving forward, obviously. So that's my specific resolution. The general resolution is try to be better at home. I mean, I think there's a level to which this team has been so bad at home that it is like just frustrated or angered the fan base. If they can just like win more games at home than they lose. Obviously, this has nothing to do with pushing for the playoffs. I'm not saying that. They've been a bad road team anyways, and so that'll probably take care of it, knock them out of the playoffs as it is. But just be better at home. Win more games at home. Give your fan base like a little bit to enjoy over this last few games, because it's not going to be a fun way to finish when you're pushing for a top five pick or a top three pick. And if you can just be better at home, make it more enjoyable for the fans, keep that gate money coming, then everything will be a little bit better. So those are my two kind of resolutions for the Predators.
Since the start of the 2022-23 season, we like round numbers on this program, the Predators have played precisely 100 home games. They are 53-38-9. That is a points percentage of .575, which ranks 19th. Yeah. In the NHL over that span. It seems like such a long time ago that this team was virtually unbeatable.
Basically a 50-50 shot that you're going to go see a win if you go to a home game. And paying all that money, like that's not good enough odds. You need to be pretty confident going to see your home team play that they're going to come out of there with a win.
So I like the idea of trading Gus Nyquist. I think that's an obvious one because he is a pending unrestricted free agent, and I don't see him in this team's plans as he's in his mid-30s. They do need to get younger at that position. Jeremy Lauzon has been mentioned as someone the Predators could trade at the deadline. There seems to be interest in him. I'm going to throw out another name to you, Alex. I'm curious for your opinion. He's not having a great season, but he has a cheap cap hit. He's under contract for one more season. He's a lifelong member of the Nashville Predators. It would be hard to imagine him in another jersey. But what about Kolten Sissons? Do you think that there could be a market for Kolten Sissons at the trade deadline? Because he is having a rough season in terms of points.
Yeah.
But by now, Kolten Sissons has established himself. He can kill penalties. He can take important faceoffs. You can trust him defensively. Players like Kolten Sissons are popular at the trade deadline for teams looking to beef up their bottom six. His cap hit of under $3 million expires at the end of next season. What do you think about Kolten Sissons? Do you think there could be a market for him at the deadline?
I think definitely. Yeah, I think he maybe even more than the Nyquist. I think that would be harder for them to part with because they just love players like him for have loved players like him for so long. And he does a lot of things that I think generally the fans don't recognize. He's an incredible face-off man.
He's been a part of this organization since 2012. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. Yeah.
He spent some time in Milwaukee. He was the captain of the Admirals before he made the jump to a full-time NHL player.
But the offensive side of the game this year has been
5 points in 37
nowhere.
Games.
And that's a surprise. To me, I thought this year would be maybe not an improvement on last year when he had a career season at 35 points, but at least like back to, 20 or 25, somewhere in there. And I think he'd be lucky to get there at this point. He's an excellent player. I have no clue what the market would be for him, but I think the cap hit is the benefit, right? $2.8 million for a guy that does what he does is really something that I think a lot of people would want to have. And the fact that he's signed through next year, he wouldn't just be a rental. I hesitate to say he would go for you could get him for a first round. I don't think that would be the case.
No, I don't think so.
But a second round pick would be fine. I think that someone would pay that. And I want to say, what was it that they got? This was years ago, but didn't the Predators pay a first round pick to get Paul Gostad?
They did.
I don't think it's the same similar situation. That's kind of the role Paul Gostad had, and he was signed longer. I don't know. Outside chance they get a first, but I think a second round pick would be great for Sissons. And that's what he was. He was originally a second round pick. So there you go.
The Gostad trade famously netted the Predators a fourth round draft pick that became UC Saros.
Yeah.
So Paul Gostad helped the Predators in more ways than one. It's crazy to I thinking back to those fourth lines when I first got here was Paul Gostad and Eric Nystrom.
Matt Cullen.
They don't make fourth lines like they used to in the NHL. But I'm curious to see what happens with Kolten Sissons. I just think the makeup of Kolten Sissons, the things that he does and has done well over the course of his NHL career, those attributes are very popular at the NHL trade deadline. You see teams make trades like that all the time. I think of the Oilers last year trading for Adam Henrique. I mean, Henrique, I would say, is a better player than Sissons, but they asked him to do a lot of the things that Kolten Sissons does for the Predators. So I could see Kolten Sissons being a popular name at the NHL trade deadline.
I'm gonna make a prediction.
Sure.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Sissons to the Maple Leafs. All right. We will check back on that.
They have a second and a third in this upcoming draft, so I don't know.
All right. Well, we will check back on that as the trade deadline. It'll be here sooner than you think in early March. But coming up next, there was another trade that the Predators made recently. We'll dive into that. Alex Daugherty, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan joined this week by Alex Daugherty of the Tennessee, and the Predators are back in action tomorrow night in Vancouver against the Canucks. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8. Right here on 102.5, 106.3 in the game. The Predators then head to Calgary to take on the Flames on Saturday. Puck drop also at 9, pregame at 8 on 102.5, 106.3 the game. There was a trade recently, Alex, another trade by Barry Trotz. How many trades is that now for the Predators in season?
I actually looked this up. In this season they've been involved in 5 trades.
Okay.
And out of the 17 that have been there this year or that have gone through this year, Barry Trotz has made 16 trades since taking over as general manager.
It's an impressive rate.
That is a lot. I don't know how that ranks, but I bet it's the most, or at least close to the most.
I would venture to guess that is the case. But the Predators traded Juuso Parsonen to the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche also received a seventh-round pick in the 2026 draft in exchange for forward Andre Pavel, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and a third-round pick in 2027. By the way, speaking of trades, the Predators and Avalanche, they make tons of trades. There was the Ryan Johansson trade. There was the Yakov Trenin trade. There was the Scott Wedgwood trade. And now the Juuso Parsonen trade. So the Avalanche and the Predators getting awful cozy in the trade market. But the most important thing in this is Juuso Parsonen being traded for a third-round pick. And for a player who was a seventh-round pick in 2019, played 105 games, had 42 points, to get a third-round pick back, I think is good value. Yeah. So Parsonen clearly was not in the plans, was a healthy scratch for the majority of the season. When he did play, he didn't get a lot of ice time. He averaged roughly 12 minutes of ice time per game in the 16 games he did play. Actually, that probably includes the Predators. But either way, he only played 7 minutes and 46 seconds in his Colorado debut against the Jets. So either way, wasn't part of the plans in Nashville. But, Alex, it leads to a larger conversation that Predators fans are having. The team this season has waived Dante Fabbro. They traded Philip Tomasino. They've traded Juuso Parsonen. Young players who were not Barry Trotz players. These were players that were brought in or drafted by David Poile. But nonetheless, three young players out the door this season for the Predators. And I know that there are Predators fans who see that and want to know what's going on. So what do you make of the larger theme here of multiple young players, a couple of first-round picks in Fabbro and Tomasino, a seventh-round pick in Parsonen, but nonetheless, young players out the door for the Predators?
I think it says two things about the way Barry Trotz is running this. The first thing is he is well aware, he is going to give Andrew Burnett plenty of autonomy in how to run this roster. He is not going to, he recognized that Tomasino was not a guy that Brunette wanted to play. And same thing with Parsonen and, for whatever reason, Fabbro. And instead of, trying to meddle and say, well, this Tomasino kid was a first round pick and there could be something there. We need you to play him more. Or, Juuso Parsonen had a great, rookie season. Why not try him or Dante Fabbro? He said, you know what? Brunette doesn't like the guy. He doesn't want him in the lineup. He's not going to play him. Let's get what we can, even if it's spare parts or even if we can waive him to try to get him in Milwaukee in the case of Dante Fabbro. Maybe to a fault, but I think that it means Trotz is really trusting Brunette to make those decisions, which I think is interesting because, Trotz was very recently a head coach, knows what those conversations are like, knows what it takes to have to sit a player 21 times, as was the case with Parsonen, and knows that he would not be doing that if he felt that Parsonen was a guy that could help win games. Same thing with Tomasino. I personally disagreed with the Tomasino trade. I don't understand why they wouldn't play him more. It seemed eye test to me said that he had a lot more to give and was a guy that could produce, and I think in the end of all these players, Parsonen, Fabbro, even go back to Cody Glass, who they sent to Pittsburgh, I think Tomasino is going to be the one that hurts the most. I think he actually has a lot of skill that's going to really shine for a team like Pittsburgh. Parsonen less so. I think Parsonen was a brief flame there for a little bit and kind of died out and probably is going to return to what he is as a player. Could you see a team signing Parsonen? He's going to be an RFA. I don't know. He's less of an issue to me. The Tomasino one, I think, is going to hurt. But Trotz is definitely making a lot of statements with all these trades that he's made this year and since July 1 of 2023.
And as fans, and I know this because I am a hockey fan and a sports fan, we tend to overvalue our favorite team's younger players. Parsonen, scored some really nice goals early in his career with the Predators. And it's a great success story. I mean, how many seventh-round picks play 100-plus games? Probably more than I think, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Predators were able to get a third-round pick out of the deal, I think, is an impressive piece of business.
Yeah, I agree.
By Barry Trotz. But, you know, I remember opening night last season. Juuso Parsonen was on the top line with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. And it didn't work out. Gus Nyquist got a shot there, and that line was arguably the best in the NHL last season.
They even tried Parsonen with Stamkos and Marchessault this year, and it lasted about a game.
That is true.
Maybe not even that long.
And it just wasn't working. It just wasn't working out. So I agree with you about Philip Tomasino. That'll be an interesting development to watch as his career continues in Pittsburgh. But you know, and even to an extent, Favreau, because Favreau is getting a lot of playing time with the Blue Jackets because they're one of the worst teams in the league, though they are better than you. at the end of the day, I just think that it's easy to group all of these young players together and say, what is Barry Trotz doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. But I just think that Parsonen clearly wasn't in the plans here. And the fact that they were able to get a third-round pick out of the deal, I actually think was a good piece of business by Barry Trotz. Alex, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for joining us this week on Preds Insiders.
Yes,
Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Vancouver Canucks. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8, right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game. We will be back next week. Preds Insiders is scheduled for next Wednesday, January 8th. So we will talk to you then. For Alex Daugherty and Nick Kieser, I am Adam Vingan. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.